You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on HeritageRadioNetwork.org live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right, we are on the line with Ben Flanner and we are tucking into some harvesting. Ben, give us the lowdown.
Hey, Aaron. So last week we spoke about lettuces. And we went through some of the differentiation between the baby mixes and the larger head lettuce and kind of broke down some of the different ways to grow them, et cetera. So this week we're going to talk about how you might harvest the baby mixes. And conveniently, that also applies with very similar principles towards harvesting some of our other mustard blends and other baby mixes, even if they're not technically a lettuce. But it would still be in a similar salad leaf type of a mix. So we can kind of group that genre together for this discussion about harvesting. So when we harvest the greens mix, we have lots of different types and blends of mix. We've spoken about it before, too, but we mix many different types of leaves, often 10-plus different varieties or types of leaves in any given blend that we sell. But we can speak mostly in general about how we go out and harvest those leaves, because in general you do want a fairly consistent texture and size and style of leaf in your salad mixes. So you start out with going out into the growing bed where we're growing the plants in the soil, and bring a sharp knife. We like a little bit of serration versus a smooth knife blade, because the serration can slice it a little bit better, a little more cleanly often. So we have a number of different serrated harvest blades. There's one that Johnny sells, which is probably just 2 to 3 inches. It's a real sharp, thin little red blade. We can also get them at the restaurant depot stores or the big restaurant supplies on the Bowery, or there's one in Queens that has a nice sharp serrated blade. And you go out and you look for good stems. It's important, so you're going to have basically, if you can envision, almost like a bed of greens mix. And you wait till the height is right, probably about 3, if you can even just move your fingers and imagine, probably about 3-4 inches above the surface of the soil. And the bottom inch or so is going to mostly be stem, and then the leaf starts above that. And at that point, you're going to have a good ratio of stem and leaf. So you look more or less about 4 inches high, 3, 4, maybe 5 at the most. And then you start cutting with your knife. Now, it's important that you don't get too many fibrous stems, because everybody's had that happen to them where you bit into a salad, didn't quite know what you were expecting, and you got something kind of woody. It hurts your tooth, and it's not a pleasant experience. You want just the nice tender leaves, and you have to keep an eye on that. But if the greens are grown consistently and they're all the same age, you should have a pretty consistent supply. One of the most difficult greens to harvest in terms of avoiding those fiber stems is wild arugula. If you'll see the Silvetta, or that sort of like thinner, nicely flavored wild arugula mix, those tend to go to seed very easily, and then it's very easy to get fibrous stems in there. So no stems, no fibrous stuff. And then if you can imagine, you grab a little handful in your left hand, not too big, but not too small, because if it's too small, you'll be harvesting all day. If it's too big, you might lose. And if it's too big, you might lose a little quality, you know, because you want to keep a good, consistent, you take them in your left hand, and then you swipe through with your right hand, assuming you're right-handed with the knife, and you just do a little bit of a saw motion, and you snip right through, and then you look at in your left hand at the bounty and make sure everything looks right, that you got basically the right spots in the stems, et cetera, and then put it in your harvest bin, and then repeat. as you go down. And then a couple of the quality things that you also need to keep in mind is that you're not tearing the stem. That's the importance of the sharp blade. It's got to make a real nice, tight cut through the stems. No bruises, no crushing, no tearing. Because if you start doing that, then it can, that's the sort of like the vector that starts causing decay, and it could turn brown and look like a bruised spot, especially if it's a nice green lettuce. And that gets, then it starts getting schmutz in there, and that's really what multiplies and causes problems.
Ben, I have a question for you. You know, one of the things that I think folks are often concerned about when eating kind of these ready-to-eat beautiful young greens is safety concerns, and should they wash them and not wash them? Were they washed at the farm? How do you recommend folks handle that question, and what should they do once we get the greens home to us?
Right. Always wash your greens. Anything that you eat raw, it's always a good idea to run that through your tap at home. We give them a rinse as well. That goes under our post-harvesting, which maybe we'll talk more about next week or sometime in the future. But we take our bins, and you know it's important that your bin holds up, and you don't want to keep it out of the sun for too long and keep it out of the wind for too long. And then we give it a quick rinse, sometimes two or three rinses actually, into a sink, and we basically dump them into cold water and get out the dust and some of the excess dirt. Ultimately, you do end up pulling up a root or two, and then that gets some dirt into it. So you want to get that out before you sell it to the customers. And then look at the labels on your greens packages to more adequately answer your question. You'll see different. Some of them say triple washed. Some of them say unwashed. Some will say washed. There's not a huge regulatory system on that. But and then look at them, and you'll be able to tell if they look super clean or if you see some little bits of dirt on them. But in general, I think it's always a good idea to give your greens a good rinse and then get a nice spinner. So you can dry them quickly, because you don't want that moisture sitting on them for a long time, because that is, it's almost like a not a double-edged sword, but it's something that has to be done very properly, because you get your greens wet and you're cleaning them and taking good care of them and keeping them fresh and everything, but you don't want standing moisture, or at least not substantial amounts of it, because that can cause decay, which is ultimately how the bacteria start forming as well.
Awesome. Ben, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little update on the lettuce.
You're welcome. All about harvest.
So for folks who want to find more about the kind of post-lettuce care, I definitely recommend checking out this last week's episode of Anastasia's Fridge, where she takes us through some of the history of lettuce and some great preparation techniques. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, are available for free as a podcast via iTunes, on our website, or through Stitcher Smart Radio. May is our membership month, so please consider becoming a supporter of the network by making a donation today. Thanks so much, and stay tuned. Up next, we've got the Farm Report.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.